Almighty God, ruler of all things, creator, redeemer, and sanctifier, we thank you that out of your mercy you revealed your gracious will in sending Jesus to redeem the world by his death on the cross and to save the world by your promise of forgiveness through faith in him. We praise you for revealing your work of salvation to holy men who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down your word so that we may know the truth and believe on your Son. We bless you for sending your saving word to the Gentiles, for restoring the gospel proclamation through the Reformation, and for bringing the gospel to this country, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to appreciate your work of preserving the gospel to us, to trust in your grace in making us your children by faith, and hope for your promise of eternal life. Keep us in the true faith through the word and sacraments, that one day we may be with you forever. We pray this in the name of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text chosen for this Reformation Sunday is written in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning at the 16th verse, and reads as follows, in Jesus' name. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes to the law, then Christ has died in vain. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear worshipers of God and heirs of the Reformation, the Reformation occurred just 501 years ago, soon after Columbus had discovered the New World. After this long a time, we may not realize just how much the Reformation still influences our life and our thinking in many ways. Martin Luther's ideas touched on many levels of society: education, worship, music, hymns, science, the German language, Bible translations, marriage and family, vocations, and many other things. God placed Martin Luther at a time of great change in the world, and he gave Martin Luther those gifts to be able to address those and to talk about many things about society and family and church on the basis of God's word and the Bible. Luther's teaching differed greatly from the world that he grew up in, and yet Luther was never a rebel against society or against government. And he was not a promoter of radical ideas. But learning from God's word, he was able to talk about things that were important in these subjects of church, family, and society. However, the most important reason we celebrate Reformation Sunday today is because of Luther's rediscovery of the gospel. His understanding that we are saved by faith through justification in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us look at our text and understand about justification, our Reformation heritage. Today we want to talk about our Reformation faith in Christ and our Reformation life in Christ. What would it be like to grow up as a young boy and hate Jesus? That's Luther. Jesus was that stern judge. He was always the one who was going to come again and send you to hell. And it was only through the intercession of Mary and other saints that he could be persuaded to try and be merciful to sinners. Martin Luther's only hope to escape judgment was to do good, to make up for his sins, and also pray to the Virgin Mary so that her love could move Jesus to be merciful. Adults were told that they must confess every one of their sins and then do penance in order to make up for those sins. And if they didn't do enough penance in this life, they would do more in purgatory. And if people could not keep God's holy law, they were told to go on a pilgrimage or to a shrine of a dead saint or in order to earn their forgiveness. Others were told that they could pay money for an indulgence which would relieve them from having to do penance or to do other parts of the law. Others were told that they could enter a monastery and withdraw from the world and live a holier life, free from temptations of the world, and therefore honor God and serve Him. And while people did hear that Jesus died for their sins, especially during Holy Week, the central emphasis that Luther understood as he grew up was that we must work our way into heaven. The good works were necessary in order to be a Christian. And this system of works did not give anyone any confidence that their sins were forgiven or that they had confidence before God that they would enter heaven. So the church taught that they would be in purgatory after they die in order to suffer for unpaid sins. And the living were taught to buy more masses for those who had died in order to lessen their years in purgatory for their loved ones. And Luther experienced all these ways of trying to earn God's love and forgiveness by his works. He confessed his sins until his confessor was tired of hearing all of these petty sins. And he gave up a law degree in order to go to the monastery to try and live a holier life closer to God. And there he starved himself, he whipped himself, and he prayed all night, all to make God happy with him and merciful to him. But nothing that Luther did was made him, his conscience, helpful and certain that God loved him and that God would forgive him his sins. Dear friends, the law cannot make us good. Only the law can only make us know our sin better and drive us to despair. Luther was driven to despair. But amidst that despair, God called him to be a professor of the Bible at the University of Wittenberg. And there he started reading God's Word. And he saw a different picture of God. A God who decreed a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, as our text declares. These words rejected everything that Luther learned in his youth about God and about the way to heaven. Our works cannot justify us before God. Our efforts do not move God to be nice to us. Our devotion does not make God forgive us. The whole Bible answers with a resounding no. The law cannot justify us, and the word justify means to declare someone not guilty. The law cannot justify us because the law only shows us our sins. Now, Luther was not a wicked man. He was not a rebel or a criminal. And yet he understood that under the law, he was guilty of sin. And you and I are under the same law and under the same condemnation. We have failed to do what God's will and the good will that God wants us to do, and we have broken his Ten Commandments in thought, word, and deed. And not only that, the Bible teaches us, as we studied this morning in Bible class, that we were born with a sinful nature so that we could not do good, that we were under God's wrath even before we were born, and that there was no way we could get to heaven by ourselves because we were born sinful. Therefore, our text says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight, that is, declared not guilty. So the question is, how can a holy God who must punish sin, how can a holy God justify a sinner? He cannot just say, well, because I love you, I will forgive your sins. Or because you tried hard enough, I will justify you and free you from punishment. He can't say that. Luther's study of God's word shows how God provided a way to be justified, but something different from our works and our efforts. God sent his Son into this world to win justification for us. Jesus had to be born under the law in order that he might keep the law perfectly in our place. This meant that Jesus never complained, never doubted God, and always loved his neighbor and even his enemies. Keeping the law also required that Jesus suffer punishment for our sins. In fact, the Bible says God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus made peace with God through the cross. The Bible says, "Now Jesus has reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Jesus reconciled us to God on the cross. To reconcile means to make friends out of enemies. God was our enemy because of sin. But now because of Jesus' death on the cross, he has become our friend. And Easter message, with Christ's resurrection, God justified the whole world. That is, declared all people not guilty because Jesus had paid for the sins of all people. Here is the message of the gospel that Luther learned. Here is the message that we need to hear and to believe in order that we might be justified before God, that is, pronounced not guilty. And we receive that justification through faith, as our text declares. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. When Martin Luther studied texts like this one, he finally realized what it meant to be justified by faith in Jesus. He felt a heavy burden had been lifted off of him. He no longer had to strive to make God happy with him. He no longer had to strive to do what is right in order to get to heaven. He knew that this justification was something that was outside of him, something that Jesus earned for him. The righteousness of God, as we studied in the Bible class this morning, was given to him through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the blessing of the Reformation, that God wanted us to hear that message about Jesus. He wanted us to hear the gospel that Jesus has won our salvation. And he wants us to hear the promise that whoever believes in Jesus has the forgiveness of sins. Can you and I be confident that that forgiveness is ours? Dear friends, we need to be confident. We need to be assured that when we stand before God on Judgment Day, that our sins will be covered over with the righteousness of God. That's the only hope that we have. Can we be confident? Our text says so. And the Lutheran Reformation says so. Because we have come to understand, the Holy Spirit has led us to believe, that we have the assurance of forgiveness of sins, first of all through our baptism, which washed away our sins through the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, in the Lord's Supper, which we receive today, we have Jesus Christ himself coming to us with his body and blood, which was given and shed for us for the remission of sins, coming to us individually and saying, "Your sins are forgiven." And as Luther said in the Small Catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation in his name. Our text says, a man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And even faith is a gift from God. And we have confidence that he will bless us and take us to heaven, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus gave us, faith in Christ, righteousness of Christ, the promise of Christ. Now, since the law cannot save us, and we have died to the law, our text says, people might conclude that they can do whatever they want and they're forgiven. Or people may say that they don't have to live under the law because they're freed from the law. But our text shows us that this is not a right way to think. Yes, we are to understand the Reformation gospel, that we are justified by faith, but we also need to understand the Reformation life that we live under Christ. All too often we hear a lot of stories, even today, stories about people killing others, killing people, shooting, all sorts of crime, all sorts of things that are going on. Our society is directly attacking the worldview and morals of God's Word. If absolutes don't exist, then we don't have to worry about what God says in His commandments. And if God doesn't exist, we don't have to worry about Him judging us on the last day. By contrast, God's Word says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Those who buy into this different morality love the world, they do not love God. And so when you and I were converted to faith in Jesus Christ, from unbelief to faith, whether by baptism or by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit created in us a clean heart, as we say in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He created in us the desire to love God and the desire to serve Him in holiness all our days. St. Paul in our text says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So on the one hand, we are justified by faith in Christ, and no works will do. On the other hand, faith produces fruit in our lives, so that we serve Him in all that we do. This means that we are first crucified with Christ. That means we have died to sin. And in Romans 6, Paul says, how can we who have died to sin live in it any longer? This is our Christian life. And as we live under God and serve Him, the devil will find it harder to attack us and turn us away from the truth or turn us into temptation and sin. Our text says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its sins and passions and lusts. Secondly, we live with the one who died for us. We live in His love. We want to serve Him as God's children. And He is empowering us to live in that life. So St. Paul wrote, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Since God has given us spiritual life, we live to serve Him. Martin Luther taught that a Christian life is active, is willing to do God's will, is wanting to know what God's will is so that they can serve God and the neighbor. He taught that we serve others in carrying out our vocations, whether it is a diligent mother, an honest store owner, a faithful factory worker, or a pious Christian. They are carrying out God's tasks and duties in serving others. Living holy lives, what our text means when it talks about living to God, living by faith in the Son of God. Our life of sanctification then is a fruit of faith, a result of becoming a Christian. So, justification and sanctification are both works of God in us. They both come from God and are empowered by God. Both are restored to a proper understanding by the Reformation. And for while our sanctification of works is produced by our faith, we cannot bring those two together and say we are saved by our sanctification. We can only say that we are saved by faith in Jesus who died for us, who gave His life for us, and by faith in that Savior who loved us. On this Reformation Day, we thank God for His gifts. We thank God for restoring the gospel to us. We thank God for keeping that gospel among us so that we can know the truth and be assured that our sins are forgiven and that we have a place in heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. And we can thank God for the many ways in which the Reformation has blessed our lives, with understanding God's word, with living according to His will, and trusting in His sacraments. May the Lord bless us as we live in our Reformation heritage. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.